Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. It's here, Cass. The playoffs here. The Rose Bowl's upon us. It's a pretty big week for Ohio State football. I mean, not the biggest week, just because regarding everything that's kind of happened with some opt-outs, it kind of feels like, I'm not going to lie, it's the granddaddy of them all, but it also kind of feels like the spring game. It's weird. It's a weird vibe to it. How are you feeling?
I'm pumped. I'm pumped for this because I don't think our team wants to go out, you know, on a game like they did against that team up north. I think our boys are going to be ready. Yes, we have the four opt-outs, which two of them we saw coming. Actually, three of them I saw coming, to be honest with you. I didn't see a Haskell Garrett, honestly.
Okay.
But that being said, Buckeye fans, calm down. We're not going to get the brakes blown off of us. Utah's not that type of team that's going to blow the brakes off. We have, like my boss and I were talking about, we still have 5 and 4-star athletes. And if we are going to lose granted, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, two of the best to ever wear the scarlet and gray. But if we have to lose two, you know, position groups, the wide receiver group, I'd feel comfortable, especially with the running backs, the three solid running backs we have, the tight end, Jeremy Rucker, who came out and said that, you know, this game is special to him. But it also gives the opportunity to remember Emeka Buka, how do you pronounce his name? You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Julian Fleming. And we still have Jackson Smith and Jigba, who you could argue probably had the better season of the three wide receivers.
He was the most consistent, I would say.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson was – he had the best ceiling, I would say.
He was more explosive.
But, yeah, JSN was definitely the safety blanket in the offense. I was just caught off guard by Olave. I mean, I was really caught off guard. When they posted the picture of him at practice, I'm like, oh, okay, great. He's in California. He's practicing. And then you get the opt-out literally 2 hours later. I was so, like, befuddled. I was like, that's kind of weird. But, like, I thought about it more. And, like, I hold nothing against Olave and all the guys for opting out. It's totally fine in my book. Completely understandable. But it just – I think it speaks to the testament of a guy like Chris Olave who, you know, he doesn't have to be there. He could go and start training somewhere. You know, he could be out at the club or something. You know,
are the other three guys going to be there too on the sidelines, or is it just Olave?
I think Haskell might be there, but I know Garrett Wilson. I've been following it, and Garrett Wilson. I mean, his opt out was pretty imminent when you saw what was going on in his Instagram like a week ago. He was in Arizona or somewhere with his girlfriend, so he clearly wasn't with the team. So that one didn't shock me. Olave though, like. He's a captain. The fact that he's still there, getting better, hanging with the guys.
And he's coaching the guys up.
Yeah, it's you love to see that. And that speaks to the brotherhood. It's truly just – I mean, a guy – like, it's sad that, you know, his last game is unfortunately a loss. But it's what Olave's done for this program, what he's still doing, being there, you know, coaching, you know, Abuka, Fleming – Harrison Jr. up. It's really I think it's so critical. I mean, right now he's basically another Brian Hartline at this point.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you know, Olave off the down, you know, still being there just shows the type of teammate he is. He's a great teammate. He loves his guys. And I mean, you look at this situation. To me, the Rose Bowl still means a lot, but to a lot of Buckeye fans, it doesn't mean anything anymore because it's not the playoffs. But as a guy who, you know, I'm a little bit older than Dan, I grew up with the Rose Bowl being the, you know, one of the top bowls. It still is one of the top bowls. If you were going to a New Year's Six Bowl, the Rose Bowl is the one you want to go to. you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I get the opt-outs. I do, and I understand. I would do the same thing if I was, you know, in that situation. But for people to sit there and say, you know, oh, the Buckeyes are going to get the brakes clean, you know, beat off of them. This game doesn't mean anything. I take that to heart because it does mean to me as a fan and a little bit older fan than some, just because, you know, I'm 33 in my 30s. You know, I grew up with the Rose Bowl. I watched Reggie Bush and Vince Young go down the field in the Rose Bowl. I watched Joe Germain throw that last second touchdown to David Boston. I mean,
we watched Colt McCoy get destroyed by Marcel Darius. And then,
yeah, I watched all that. And, you know, I watched Miami Hurricanes, one of the greatest offenses, destroy a Nebraska team. So to me, the Rose Bowl means a lot. So to see the Buckeyes go out there mm-hmm. to the Rose Bowl, yes, it is a consolation prize, but I'm excited. The Rose Bowl is on my bucket list of games I want to attend, but, you know, I'm excited for this game because I respect the hell out of Kyle Whittingham and Utah. So it's not like we're playing a scrub Washington team like we played a couple years ago. We're playing a damn good, respectable football team.
They
and
are.
I think the Buckeyes, for people to sit there and say the Buckeyes are going to be up for this, these young guys are chomping at the bit for this game. Fleming, Abuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., Teron Vincent, you know, I'm trying to think, Taliq Williams, who played two snaps against Michigan.
Absurd.
I mean, Jeremy Rucker wants to go out as a winner. And then you have C.J. Stroud going back home, who feels disrespected from the Heisman vote. I think these boys will be ready.
By the way, C.J. Stroud's mom liked our tweet that we tweeted about him being disrespected. I just want to point to that. So they know their family. But Cass, I mean, I agree with you that I know the young guys are up for this. I think our young guys are up for the challenge. But what concerns me is that you mentioned this. We're not playing a scrub Washington team because that Washington team should not have won the Pac-12 that year. It was just a really down year for that conference. But this Utah team, yes, I know they have a couple losses. They're a good team, though. I mean, this is a team that, you know, they have an identity. They're a power run team. They love to use the tight ends, like you were saying. They're a really consistent team. And I think if the playoff were expanded and they somehow got into the playoff, they're peaking at the right time where they would be. They might honestly upset someone. So, I mean, let's get into kind of the Utah preview here. What concerns you about Utah, and what do you think we could take advantage of? I mean, right away, I think through the air, that's going to be our advantage. It's always our advantage. But it does hurt now that we're missing, obviously, our two studs. But I still think a guy like Abuka, Fleming, even Rucker. I think Rucker will have a big day, honestly.
Offensively, nothing concerns me because I think we still have three great running backs.
Yeah.
I think Master Teague is going to be the goal line guy. I think Mayan Williams is going to be the shifty meatball or pork chop, whatever his nickname is. And then Travion, he's very explosive out of the backfield. And then you have, I think G. Scott could find a mix into this.
I totally agree with that.
Now that Cade Stover is rumored to be playing on the other side, offensively, I'm not worried because I think Stroud's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. Stroud is going to try to go out and prove a point. And this is all on Stroud. And I think Stroud wants to win Buckeye fans over, and this is the game to do it. I mean, he didn't play bad against that team up north. And I think this is the game that, you know, he feels disrespected. Defensively is where I am a little bit concerned, but knowing, because we're thin at linebacker. Cody Simon had a shoulder in-season injury surgery, so we're going to miss him. Hopefully, Tarada Mitchell can get whatever the absence he's had. Losing Haskell Garrett could be a blessing because we could see the emergence of Taliq Williams. We could see the emergence of Jack Sawyer and JTT. And it looks like, sounded like we're going to run a little traditional 4-3 because Utah likes to run the football, like you said. But what concerns me the most is their two tight ends. Their two tight ends concern me a lot because as good as their receivers are, I think our Cam Brown and Denzel Burke will be just fine mm-hmm. on the outside. It's who can cover those two tight ends. Is it going to be Shaw or is it going to be Lathan Ransom or is it going to be Cameron Martinez, who I think needs to be playing?
We better not. I mean, yeah, if they're running two tight ends and running the ball down our throat, we better not have a nickel in the game. I'm going to lose my mind if we have a nickel in the game. But you're absolutely right, Cass. I mean, I'm sure people have already heard this. Brant Keith, he's our leading receiver in yards, 534 yards on the season, 6 touchdowns. Dalton Kincaid, he is their third leading receiver, 33 catches, 465 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, those two make up the majority of their receiving yards and touchdowns for the tight end spot. Receiver, they are weak at. Britton Covey, he's like, I mean, you talk about, we joke about DeMario McCall, and last time we're probably going to see the GOAT play, but this dude, Britton Covey, has been, and he did, I will say this, he did leave college for a few years to do like a Mormon mission, looks like, but he started his career in 2015. So, I mean, he's been there longer than McCall, technically, if you go by years. Not by seasons, though. McCall, I think, has been there 6 full seasons. But this Covey guy for Utah, he's a veteran. He announced this is going to be his last game. He's a really dynamic returner as well. He could definitely do some damage in the return game. I don't see him as a threat, though, as receiver. I think, you know, if we have Cam Brown should easily shut him down or Denzel Burke. But what really just concerns me is Utah running 2 tight end sets and they just pound the rock.
If we run the 4-3, I think we'll be just fine because we did show a lot outside the Michigan game and the Oregon game. We did do a lot. After the Oregon game, we did do a lot better stopping the run.
We did.
And that's where I think Tirada Mitchell, this is probably his last game in a scarlet and gray uniform. This is where he could have a big game. I think Steel Chambers has, you know, grown a lot. Just think about it. You know, he's grown. He's had time now to grow more at linebacker. The thing is if we stop the run, we get to make a quarterback who, in my opinion, I've watched the highlights of the Oregon game. He chucks the ball up when he gets field pressure. So if we could somehow get pressure on the quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. He's, like we said off air, he's very gritty, but he's not afraid to turn the ball over. He's not afraid to try to make a play. And, you know,
he reminds me of like a really bad version of like Jake Plummer. That's how I would compare him to. That's why I compare Cameron Rising to, like a really poor man's version of Jake Plummer, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, that's just the way I feel. But they're going to make plays. It's Utah. They're a good running team, and they're offensively, they're a very good football team. But I think it's going to come down. Can they keep – yeah, they have Sewell and the other linebacker that's All-American, Lloyd. But outside of those two, they have great players, but no one really jumps off the screen for you. That's Clark. Why I think can Utah's offense keep up with the Buckeyes if the Buckeyes are in rhythm?
Clark Phillips was a highly recruited OSU recruit, like highly rated, and then he ended up flipping after Hafley went to Boston College. He's flashed at times for Utah, but, I mean, he's not as elite as Ohio State thought he would be. He could definitely be exposed, I think, at points. They are a solid team. Mika Tuafa is their defensive end. He has almost 10 sacks on the season. So, I mean, if you look at all 3 levels on that defense, linebackers, obviously, their strong suit. Defensive line, it's not terrible. It's a pretty solid group. And then, you know, secondary is also solid. They're just a really solid football team. It's when you look at football teams, they're really built from like the inside out. Like if you look at some of the bad NFL teams, like the Giants, they're built from the outside in, for example. Like they have all these pretty receivers, the quarterback, maybe the Giants are not the best example, but they don't have like the interior guys. Utah is like the exact opposite of that. They're coached well too. So they're a good team. I mean, I see this being a close game, and I think it's really going to be determined by Stroud. It's really going to be if Stroud can set the pace, because if Stroud's able to, you know, light it up and make Utah play from behind, I think the Buckeyes easily cruise to victory. If Stroud has a game like he had against that team up north where he's passing for a lot of yards, but we're not finishing, it's empty yards almost, it feels like.
It comes down to the offensive line.
It does. It does. Which, honestly, it's going to be interesting too. I'm glad you brought that up. With NPF moving, you know, moving on, opting out.
Thayer goes back out.
Thayer's going to go back at the tackle, it sounds like. At first, people were saying, and I believe, honestly, I think I was one of those people in my mind at least saying, oh, put Paris Johnson at tackle. But obviously, that doesn't make a lot of sense just because.
I would run Thayer at tackle, Matthew Jones at guard, Weifler at center, Paris Johnson at guard.
Yeah.
And DeJuan Jones at tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'll talk about that next year where they should be playing. But that's the way I would run this.
The logic behind it was, I mean, you could play both sides of the coin. One, you want to get Paris Johnson reps at tackle because he's obviously going to be a tackle for next year. Two, you don't want to get him reps at tackle because you're afraid it might, you know, he might have a bad game. He's not prepared. It's tough switching positions in the middle of the season. Let Thayer do it. He's experienced. He maybe want to get some look at tackle again for the NFL tape. Well,
and I think what Thayer's comments were this week, that the reason why he's playing in this game because he doesn't want to go out that way. Thayer's in his mind is moving back out to tackle because what he's talking about is being. By the way, he slipped on his feet. I didn't realize this until after Thayer kind of mentioned it and Tim Hall on 97.1 mentioned it. I kept going back to it. He did slip on his feet. That kind of caused the bull rush for Hutchinson. I'm not taking nothing away from Hutchinson because it was a great play, but it was just a little – it was his footwork. So I think that his comments saying he didn't want to go out that way makes me believe that he's going to play tackle.
I agree. I mean, I want to see Donovan Jackson get some snaps, though. I really do.
Not yet. I think the Rose Bowl, and this kind of reminds me like the Cotton Bowl. Like, I don't care how – if you remember going back to the Cotton Bowl, I didn't care if JT Barrett rushed the ball 30 times. I just wanted to win the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
This is the point in the season where, yeah, I'd like to see this young guy. The young guy's going to have to flash, obviously. But I want to see Thayer get his, play awesome at tackle. I want to see, you know, the seniors just go out as winners. You know, the guys who are going to the next level, go out as winner any way possible. And then we build on to next season.
I mean, I agree with that. Like, at least when it comes to, like, the running back position, I really don't want to see Travion getting a lot of carries just because I know how important he's going to be for next year and the year after that. I'm fine with them rushing Teague into the ground if they have to. That's totally fine with me. I mean, he's earned it. My biggest thing is we got to make sure we protect Travion. I know that sounds ridiculous, but he has been a little nicked up this year. I mean, there's been multiple games where he's either had a stinger or at least in the Rutgers game, he's left with an injury. So I just want to be extra cautious with Travion because at this point we are playing for the Rose Bowl, but I think T could get the job done. Maybe I'm being a little overprotective.
And I think Mayan Williams can too.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a little overprotective here, but that's the one guy. If we're going to protect anyone, we have to protect number 32.
Yeah, I agree. And we got to protect number 7 because we only have 2 quarterbacks on scholarship right now.
That is true.
I mean, even Jager LaRue left. So I want to do my final predictions. I've been saying it all week. I feel confident. I think the Buckeyes cruise to a victory, but it's more like 38-27. I think the Buckeyes get it done, 38-27. That's just my opinion. I I think it gets close. It's close until the end of the fourth quarter, towards the end of the fourth quarter, and Buckeyes get a touchdown to kind of seal the game. I'm confident. I'm really confident in this game. I really am. I think our boys are going to show out.
Give me the Buckeyes big.
I love it, Dan.
You know why? I've been thinking about it. I've been on the fence. I've been on the fence a lot lately with them.
I know. I kind of called you out in the but
I've been very pessimistic about them. But the one thing I've learned about the Buckeyes is when they're treated almost like as the underdog, you know, they're treated as a team that has motivation, they're deadly. And you don't think they're going to be deadly after one that team up north, losing that team up north.
All the talk.
Two, I think they respect Utah. I really think they respect them. Because Utah, they're a very respectable program. They're a team that you know you have to prepare for because they're gonna play you tough. So, with that being said, give me the Buckeyes. 42, the Utes. 42-24.
Kind of the similar. You got more points. But I like it. 38-27, you 42-24. I would love to see your score, to be honest with you. But, again, I think C.J. Stroud has a day. I really do.
And, I mean, like, my head was telling me, oh, just bet Utah money line or take the points with Utah. But, I don't know. My heart's telling me.
Great weather.
That's true.
Stroud can sling it around. Jackson Smith and Jigba. JSN, baby. I don't care if JSN has 12 catches.
They've also had a month to prepare for this. Like, I think they're so ready. I think they're chomping at the bit. I really do.
And I think Utah is too.
They are. It's going to be a very good game. I think, yeah. I think honestly, look, maybe we won't blow them out.
Is it going to be Purdue-Tennessee good?
I hope so. That game was incredible. So was the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I don't know if anyone watched the Duke's Mayo Bowl today. I was watching that early. That was a great game.
I've been hearing a lot about that, about how last night Dabo got Cheez-Its dumped all over him, and today Shane Beamer got mayonnaise dumped all over him. That's just gross.
Hey, all I'm saying is Big Ten, they are currently 4-0 in the bowl games. Michigan State just beat Pittsburgh, and now
isn't that 5-0?
About to be 5-0. Well, it's early. First quarter, Wisconsin's up 7-3. We might be 5-0, setting up for Rutgers to absolutely get taken to the woodshed tomorrow by Wake Forest.
I hope not. I think Rutgers is going to be ready for this game.
I'll lose my mind if Rutgers wins. Just like 5-7, they're chomping at the bit. You talk about a team that's been chomping at the bit to get into a bowl game. This is. I know Utah, like, this is their Super Bowl because they've never been to the Rose Bowl, and they have these great new uniforms. But Rutgers, they've been waiting on the call. They've been waiting on the call. They got in right here.
They really got in
because of academics, too, which is the best part of this.
Yeah, and then Brett Bielema is sitting there in Illinois like. I think it's funny, too, because Shad Khan really lobbied for Illinois to get in, and Rutgers got in. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, who will owe Urban Meyer money. I don't care what he did. They fired him without cause.
What is Shad Khan's connection to Illinois?
He graduated from Illinois.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
No way. I thought he was like an oil dude or something.
An oil dude. He put enough oil on that mustache.
He's from? Oh, wow. Yeah. Alma mater, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Never knew that. I thought he was just like an oil guy for some reason.
Speaking of the bowl games, our bowl, I haven't even really looked, but our bowl game pick 'em thing against the spread. We haven't really discussed the prizes, but I think that we would do first and second place.
Yeah.
Right? I think first place, we haven't really discussed this, but I feel like second place will get a $25 gift card to probably Fanatics.
Yeah, that's usually good. That's a good little thing.
I would say, since we're strictly Ohio State, we do the Buckeye Team Shop, but we probably have some guys that are not Buckeye fans. So second place will get a $25 gift card to Fanatics. And I would say, you know, first place, maybe a $50 gift card to Ticketmaster.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I don't think anyone disagree with that. Or, I mean, we can see what the first place winner wants. If they want a $50 gift card to Fanatics, how about this? You have a choice. $50 to Fanatics or Ticketmaster, and then $25 for Fanatics or Ticketmaster.
Right now, there's a tie for first place. Spare, Chucker, and Kingray 23's picks three. There is 20 entries.
If there's a tie, the tiebreaker will be an NFL game they have to pick. We'll reach out to you. We'll make you pick an NFL game or something.
How about we also do this, please? We'll get on the Twitter. If you did put an entry, please put your first and last name into the entry so we can identify you. We had that problem, 2 years ago?
Yeah, last year. We're like, this guy won. No one's coming forward. And our buddy Scott messaged us. He's like, oh, that's one of my employees. Hold on. Let me get you his info.
The NCAA tournament. Yeah.
Every year it happens. Every year. So please. If you won.
You'll be disqualified. I'm going to. We've said it enough.
This is legally binding. All decisions are final from Cass.
So let's go into the rest of the bowl game pick'ems. We're just going to do the New Year's Day bowls. Whether college football playoff plus the New Year's Day bowl games. Because most of the Big Ten teams play in the New Year's Day bowl games. So here we go.
All right. So, I mean, technically the Peach Bowl is a New Year's Six bowl, which is ridiculous.
I forgot it was on today.
That's like the ugly duckling version of a New Year's Six bowl. All right. Oh, do we want to start with the playoff games or?
Let's do Wake Forest Rutgers.
Give me just for previous reasons, Scarlet Knights want it. Give me the Rutgers.
Give me Rutgers tomorrow at 11 a.m. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. I do want to know if whoever wins this game, do they get doused with Frosted Flakes? Because that'd be badass. Washington State is a 7-point favorite over 8-4 Central Michigan. By the way, somebody ducked out of this game. I forget who it was.
Well, I know Central Michigan, they ducked into this game because they had Boise State. And that the bars, I feel bad for the Barstool Bowl because that got destroyed just because the COVID nonsense.
Why can't NC State do that game? Their coach is bitching about ball games. Why couldn't they jump into that game?
I don't know. I'm trying to see who it was that ducked out of it.
Who was?
Was it NC State?
No. UCLA was supposed to play NC State in a bowl game.
Oh man,
they were supposed. San Diego Credit Union Holiday Bowl was supposed to be NC State and UCLA.
Now I'm really confused. Sun Bowl,
the Sun Bowl.
Oh, okay. It was the Miami Hurricanes.
They ducked Washington State. Give me Washington State Cougars winning that game.
Central Michigan, just because I think they're hungry and they're a little annoyed that their game got canceled.
All right, we're going to skip to January 1st and do like the Outback and play in the Citrus Bowl first.
Go Arkansas. Arkansas, because I don't want coconut shrimp. Oh, that's the one time I'll ever root for the SEC. Give me Arkansas. I want the Bloomin' Onion, not coconut shrimp.
Well, I don't think Penn State stands a chance just because Jahan Dotson's out. Give me Penn State because it's Big Ten, but I think Arkansas wins. This one's tricky because it depends on which team shows up from each team. The Citrus Bowl, Kentucky or Iowa. It just depends who shows up for either team, really.
Which offense knows how to go forward?
Give me Kentucky.
I'll go with Iowa here just because, I mean, they can't be – offensively, they can't be that bad 2 weeks in a row, can they?
No. PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. I believe they got this game wrong. I wanted to see Michigan State versus Notre Dame in this, and then they could have done Oklahoma State Pitt. But Oklahoma State, without Jim Knowles and Mike Gundy complaining, give me Fighting Irish, give me the Fighting Marcus Freemans beating Oklahoma State because Mike Gundy's too worried about Jim Knowles going to Ohio State.
Yeah, give me Notre Dame just because I don't think Oklahoma State bounces back after that, you know, that Big 12 championship game where they came up a yard short, like four straight plays. That's tough to bounce back from mentally. I think Notre Dame, they're going to fight hard for Marcus Freeman, which, by the way, Ohio State did offer him. Like, he was probably going to get the job here. I just want everyone to know. There was highly likely that he was going to get the job. And I tweeted out that Notre Dame was not considering him, and they were not. They were not until Ohio State offered him the job. I will take that to my grave. We like literally it came down to Notre Dame didn't want him or Tommy Rees. Ohio State said, "Oh, absolutely, give us Marcus Freeman," offered him a fat check. And then Notre Dame's like, "Oh, wait a minute. Well, if Ohio State wants him, then clearly he's a good coach, so we need to retain him." And then he got the job. Literally exactly what happened.
I think they'll play for him, but I think he's got a rough road ahead of him coming. I think going to Notre Dame, being your first head coach job, if you fail, them Catholics up there will let you know.
Yeah. Look, I'm a Catholic. He could have came to Columbus. Like,
and I think this game outside the Ohio State-Utah game, I think this might be one of the most exciting games on the bowl game.
Oh, yeah.
Baylor at Ole Miss. I like Ole Miss a lot. I think this would be Matt Carroll's last game. They're only a 1.5-point favorite, but I like Ole Miss a lot, but not by a lot. I think it's going to be a really good game, and it's going to be a fantastic game.
Shootout.
To follow after the Rose Bowl.
It is. No, this is going to be a shootout. I could totally – how I see this one playing out, I think Ole Miss is going to win, but I see Ole Miss taking like a big lead, almost like a 24-point lead. And then in the fourth quarter, it's going to be a 7-3-point game with Baylor mounting a ridiculous comeback. I think it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be a shootout. That's going to be a treat. I'm so excited for that one.
And then the college football playoff, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, Alabama, Cincinnati, and then the Capital One Orange Bowl, Georgia against the team up north.
So by the time you're listening to this, because I believe our show is going to get posted at like 4:30 by Dave. So when you're listening to this, it's gonna probably be after the game, or you might be listening simultaneously.
It'll be halftime.
Yeah, halftime. Maybe you have this on at halftime. I don't know. Of the Alabama-Cincinnati game. So if you're listening to this, this is, you know, we're current. So the more I've been thinking about this one, Cass, I think Cincinnati has a chance.
I don't.
I think they do. I believe in – I honestly, call me crazy, I think Cincinnati might pull off the upset. Alabama's vulnerable, man. I mean, they showed their weakness against Auburn.
But if the rumors are true and what the linebacker is saying, they're using that underdog mentality, Bama by 40, hands down.
You know what? They might just be saying that. They could just say that. I don't think they actually believe that.
I think Bama wins and they cover.
You see,
you're giving Nick Saban almost a month to prepare for Cincinnati, who struggled against Navy, who struggled against Tulane. I'm not discrediting what type of team they are. They're a good football team. I still think the Buckeyes would beat Cincinnati by a couple touchdowns. I like Bama.
Give me the Bearcats and a historic upset. I just think.
Hope you're going to be wrong, because I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan, and the last thing I want to do is hear the Bearcat fans just chirp.
That's my logic going with this. No one's taking them seriously. No one. Like Alabama, they might be saying that, but deep in their hearts, they're not. I don't think they actually think Cincinnati's really anything. I wouldn't be surprised. I know before the Ohio State Alabama Sugar Bowl game, players were out on Bourbon Street a couple nights before. I wouldn't be shocked if someone on the Bama or UC message boards found some info and we found out some Alabama players were out and about not taking this seriously. Because think about it, they're coming off a championship, they think they're unbeatable. Cincinnati probably feels so disrespected for everything that's been going on. And honestly, they really don't match up that bad against Alabama. When you look at it, Alabama, they lost Mechie, torn ACL. Cincinnati, they have Kobe Bryant, who's wearing number 8. If he matches up with Jameis, the juice man, that's an interesting matchup. Because if he could, he's a Thorpe Award winner too, Kobe Bryant. If he could take Jameis out of the game, that offensive line for Alabama, yes, they're big. They have not been good. And they really have not had a consistent rushing attack this year, which I think Cincinnati and Luke Fickell's defense, I mean, Luke Fickell has proven he could stop the Tide offense before. So I really think this game is going to be a lot closer than what the spread says. I would say give me the Bearcats in a historic upset. And also Desmond Ridder, he's a good college quarterback. He doesn't get enough credit. I think it's tough because there's only so many people you can invite to a Heisman ceremony, but I think he's definitely worthy of more consideration for the body of work he put in. So I think he's going to be a guy too that's a little, you know, ticked off. But I mean, Cincinnati, they're complete. Alabama, they have some flaws. Keep an eye on that one.
I think the reality of – I'm not saying they're a bad team. I just don't think the talent is there. I mean, yeah, they got some great players. But Bama, man, it's Bama. It's Nick Saban. I don't think he's going to go down and lose to Cincinnati. I'm sorry. And then we got the other one.
The other one.
I'm just calling it the other one. I hate Michigan so bad. I hate seeing their commercials. I hate seeing the stupid smirk on Desmond Howard's face. I want Georgia to win so bad. Give me Georgia. I can't pick Michigan. I'm sorry. I hate them.
I think Michigan's the better team. Because this is the difference, I think. Georgia starting Stetson Bennett. The guy has a noodle arm. The guy is basically Uncle Rico out there. It's bad. Michigan. I'm not saying Cade McNamara is lighting the world on fire, but at least he's competent. At least he can drop back there, and you know he's gonna probably complete the pass.
I'm going to hate your national championship game so bad.
Michigan, Cincinnati.
God. As a Bengals fan and a Buckeye fan, that's my worst nightmare.
I mean, there's no way this national championship game is going to be fun for us. It's going to either be Alabama or like Alabama. I mean, any way you phrase this, it's terrible. Alabama, Michigan, terrible. Alabama, Georgia, we already seen it. Cincinnati, Georgia, that's okay. Or Cincinnati, Michigan. I'm going to go Michigan. Begrudgingly. I'm not happy about it, but And I'm not rooting for them. I just think they're a better team than Georgia. I truly do think that after what I've watched this year. I think Georgia's frauds. I think they really got propped up with that Clemson win early on, and then we found out Clemson was just not a good team.
I got Alabama winning the national title again.
I mean, like, you look at Georgia's wins, though. It's their best win other than Clemson was Arkansas. That's it. They didn't play anyone. This is their schedule cast. They played Clemson, University of Alabama, Birmingham, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Missouri, Tennessee, Charleston Southern, Georgia Tech, Alabama. What other opponent than Clemson or Arkansas are you like, they're okay? None of that.
Kentucky?
Who?
Kentucky?
Yeah, they honestly almost lost to Kentucky, though. It was a close game, I remember. What was the score?
I also think Georgia threw the SEC title game because I also think that they knew regardless if they lost, they were in. So
that's fair. It's a dumb reason to lose to Bama, but it is what it is.
Bama wins it all again.
See, no, this is where I think you're wrong because the years where we say – the years where it feels like Bama's a lock to win it all is the year they choke.
Not to Cincinnati. And, God, I hope it's not against Michigan. So, in your case, you got Cincinnati winning the whole damn thing?
Why not? Why not? Yeah, give me the Bearcats.
Oh, man.
That would be – I mean – I wouldn't even be mad if the Bearcats won it all, though. I'd be surprised. I'd be very surprised, but I wouldn't be upset. I would just be like, okay, it's the way she goes, I guess.
I hope not. I'm a Bengals fan, folks. I can't deal with the Bearcat fans. Speaking of Bengals, they got a huge game Sunday. At home against the Chiefs. If Bengals win, they win the division.
I think it's going to come down to that final week against the Browns.
Don't forget, Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh, they just got blown out by the Chiefs. But keep in mind, Monday night is Big Ben's very last game at Heinz Field. Pittsburgh will try to show out. Plus, Baker Mayfield makes the dumbest decisions in big game, like in crucial moments of games.
I wouldn't even say dumb. It's just like he just misses the most wide open guys. His accuracy, like when he first came into the league, he was great on accuracy, and I feel like his accuracy has just deteriorated, and that's like an attribute that shouldn't deteriorate over time. It should just get better, I feel like, with timing, like experience, understanding the plays. Accuracy should get better, but it's deteriorated. It's weird.
I think the fact that, you know, I want the Browns to lose this week. And I want the Bengals – no, regardless, the Bengals win this week. They win the division, which is a great accomplishment because they were projected to finish dead last in a division. And for them to be one game away from winning division is just awesome, like, to me as a Bengals fan. And, you know, and the Bengals have a lot of Buckeyes on them. Von Bell, Sam Hubbard, Isaiah Prince, just to name the three contributors. So I'm pretty excited for what the Bengals could do this week. And we have Joe Burrow. I mean,
he's a pretty big contributor.
Dude, Joe Burrow, I feel like nothing phases that dude if you watch him play.
He's Joe Cool. Joe Exotic.
I do want to say, because we haven't recorded a podcast, I do want to send a shout out to the 6 Buckeyes that did make the Pro Bowl. Cam Hayward, Marshawn Lattimore, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Who was the others? Oh, man.
I'm trying to think.
Denzel Ward. And I think Corey Linsley?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, congratulations to those guys. Six Buckeye, former Buckeyes, making the Pro Bowl. You can make an argument about Zeke making the Pro Bowl. You could possibly make an argument about Sam Hubbard, maybe Von Bell. But congratulations to those six guys making the Pro Bowl.
Absolutely. Congratulations. I guess, Cass, before I wrap it up, any final thoughts?
I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. Some big things happened to us this year, and we keep growing. So we do want to continue to thank all of our listeners, all of our supporters. I believe from the start of the football season to now, we've probably gained 500 to almost 1,000 new followers on Twitter. We love it. We love to continue to grow, especially with the Silver Bulletin. 2022 is going to be a big year. By the way, we still do have a basketball team. They do play Sunday against Nebraska. hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
But it's been a great year. And Dan, if I don't talk to you, man, I hope you guys have a safe new year. Stay healthy. And thank God neither one of us has the Rona.
Yeah.
So
fingers crossed for me. It's not looking too good, but we'll see how that comes back.
Yeah. I didn't have the Rona. I tested the other day negative. So, but I hope everybody has a safe 2022 new year. Get ready for a lot of action. This podcast is about to grow even more, not just with football, not with just basketball. It sounded like we might be doing some baseball stuff. And whatever it brings us. And, you know, I'm excited for 2022. I'm not excited that I'm going to get a year older, but I do, you know, appreciate everybody, and I appreciate all of our fans. I appreciate you, Dan, sticking up and, you know, sticking with me for a fourth year. It's been much love, and we've been doing a great job, and we work well together.
Absolutely. But no, I mean, I love doing this. I'm glad we're taking it to a new height in 2022 with the Silver Bulletin. Maybe we'll have an RV or something, hopefully, if things go great. I don't know. That's a pipe dream, but gotta put it out there. Maybe I hit the lottery.
Let's try to get a goal to get a tailgating spot at Ohio State. Maybe all of us at Silver Bulletin can all chip in, get a tailgating spot, and get some live action stuff.
I love it. I love it, Cass. But as always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Everyone have a safe, healthy new year. Remember, don't drink and drive. If you're out, don't get behind the wheel. Get an Uber. Just be safe on New Year's Eve. That's all I ask everyone. But that does it for this episode. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.